Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and I'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. Well, what's up, everybody? Good to be with you again this week for another episode of Equipped. I'm joined today by my friend Kate Rent. Say hey, Kate.
Hey.
Kate works with us on the podcast, something that you guys probably don't get to see very much. She is probably going to be much more known by our college crowd, as she does a ton with Connection College, is an essential part of what they do. But we, for the last maybe 6 or 7 months, you know, over the summer, Kate interned with, or did an internship with Young Life. Mm-hmm. And over the summer, we did some stuff kind of working on the podcast, working on social media. But she is a college student at Georgia Southern, and has been a new and also very fun part of our staff life. And so thanks for making time to jump on with me today.
Of course.
All right. So today we're going to continue sort of our series talking about God's better game plan. And again, the premise behind this is that as God has extended a better story to us through the person of Jesus, then in the meantime, until there's a new heavens, a new earth, till all of sin is eradicated, until all of our difficulties are taken away and we exist in a new heaven and a new earth, in the meantime, existing in a relationship with God comes with a better game plan that I think by observation, not everyone follows, right? Mm-hmm. Not everyone, and certainly we're in the same boat, right? We don't mm-hmm. follow God's game plan perfectly, but we're trying to peel back the layers of really, I guess, maybe for us as a connect group leader community, but also just people that really care about our church, people that care about the church in general. Why do we do what we do? Mm-hmm. We do what we do because we believe that God has given us a better game plan for how to follow Him and how to navigate this thing called life. Mm-hmm. And so the week before, me and Chase talked about how does worship factor into God's better game plan? And we peeled back the layers of how do we get the most out of corporate worship? Why does the church sing? Why, even if you don't feel like it, should you still do it? And I think the week before that, I introduced 1 week's content of why does heart and soul matter? And so I want to continue bringing on other people from their perspective to share some of these things. But Kate, you're a lot like me. There's something that began to change about your college experience mm-hmm. While you're in the midst of college. And so even existing in the midst of that, you immediately got plugged in with community.
Yes.
And so community is important to you. Just like my salvation experience that, you know, really me and Billy unpacked in our Equipped conversation, what that journey was like for me. Today, I want you to unpack a little bit for us of why is community essential to the Christian experience?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way that I really got to know the Lord is through people who are living for Him. When I first was around people who were pursuing the Lord, it was just like there was something different about them. It just like made me gravitate towards them. And I don't know, I think about Jesus and the disciples. Like, clearly Jesus, who was, I mean, essentially God on earth, like He was human God, but He was walking with these disciples, and there wasn't just Jesus, it was Jesus and the disciples, you know?
That's really well said. I mean, like, Yeah, we talk about this, I feel like, in heart and soul and in lots of different environments. Like, God made a choice. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus is the human communication of what God as a divine being is like.
Right.
And he chose to, one, come in the form of the incarnation, right? Mm-hmm. In the version of the incarnation, to come as a human being. And he existed alongside human relationships,
right?
So that's a really good point. I like that. I don't know that I thought about that coming into the podcast. So,
yeah.
so that's been a part of your experience. That seems to be the way that Jesus modeled his life. Anything else? Any other thoughts come to mind?
I mean, like, I think of just in Proverbs, it talks about iron sharpening iron and how we can't be sharp without other people around us, like, that are calling us to higher standards. And the only way that we can do that is through biblical community and living life alongside people so that they can see our everyday life and that we have people to go to when we're struggling. You know, that's why I think a lot about when we were talking about the podcast, you know, Eve was created from Adam because Adam wasn't meant to do life alone. And I think a lot of times people talk about, oh, Eve and Adam, you know, Adam and Eve, like, that's for marriage, but also it's for community too.
Wow.
So I think that's really important to recognize too.
Those are three really impressive answers, like your own personal experience, your own, like, sort of observation, both like from a biblical perspective,
mm-hmm.
And then also looking at the life of Jesus and observing, like, that's how God chose to demonstrate his, and that really gets at sort of the series, like, that was part of God's game plan,
mm-hmm.
as demonstrating who he is for us, as a part of him writing a better story for us, is also giving us a better game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, let's go ahead and press into that last part that you said. When you think about community, what's the main sort of verse? And let's just go ahead and go back to that Genesis passage, mm-hmm. that you're talking about a little more clearly and specifically. Like, when you think of scripture that highlights the need, and really, I guess we could just say it real clearly. Like, it is like an essential, non-negotiable part, mm-hmm. of following Jesus, yeah. is existing in community.
Yeah.
All right. So take us to that verse that you just were referencing.
It's Genesis 2, I think 21.
Okay.
Genesis.
All right. So the Lord calls the deep sleep to fall upon the man. That's literally the Adam, upon the man, it'd be the same word for the man or for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. This is the seminary theological nerd part of me, but that's wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
The Adam and the woman that he's bringing into existence, taking the rib from the man, and he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man." All right, tell me why that speaks to you.
I mean, I think that, you know, there was a time when Adam was all alone, and you know, it says that but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. But for the animals, there were. And that's when the Lord created Eve, because
right.
that was important for Adam to have somebody who he could, you know, walk alongside and live with.
And I think it's a very American thing for us to focus on the, like, hypersexualized nature of that, mm-hmm. to see, like, oh, well, look, he just needed someone to mate with.
Yeah.
But, like, actually, there was not someone of similar likeness, mm-hmm. on the planet that Adam could have community with.
Yeah.
Now, it allowed him to procreate and begin to, and really, that's that's one of the big premises of our podcast, is that multiplication is a pre-sin calling. It's mm-hmm. a pre-sin reality. We were created in order to multiply. Mm-hmm. But I think what you just kind of pulled back the layers on is community is a pre-sin reality,
yeah.
right? Before sin enters the garden, God created Adam and Eve in order for them to have community, and that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, you know, I was looking at my wedding ring. My wife inscribed Genesis 2:24.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the inside of my
awesome.
Wedding band. Yeah. And so there's definitely that layer of it is of the marriage component, the procreation component, but it's also community.
Right.
Like, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And yeah. that's really cool. I think of Genesis 2:42, when we teach heart and soul and we teach the value of community. Community is one of our core values as a church. We look at this verse. It's what we look at when we explain, like, why do we do what we do as a church? Why do we have connect groups? And why do we make this such a big deal? It's because we see this as a biblical reality that was important to the first followers of Jesus. It says, Acts 2:42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." What we see, I feel like we talk about this a lot, is the Connection Network. This is really aspirational community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like, people are getting saved. People are meeting together in each other's houses. Awe is coming over the whole community. Mm-hmm. Even people who aren't followers of Jesus are looking at this community and thinking, these folks really got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because they were rich or had an abundance of possessions. It was because what they did have, they shared.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really beautiful. We've always been a church, as Connection Church, that we want the least of these, those who are broken, those who feel the most discarded and the most, they feel like outsiders. Mm-hmm. We want them to feel like they have a home here. And so that of taking a big collection of people that all feel so different and bringing them together in community has always been a big part of what we wanted to do as a church. And so that's always been something that's just kind of stayed on my mind. What do you think, Kate, as a college student, as somebody as early in their faith, early in their walking with Jesus, and already at a very impressive level, for you, what do you think about, well, like, what would you say to the person that's like, you know, it just exists primarily in like a me and Jesus type of reality that's not super into church, that doesn't believe that church is essential? What would you encourage that person with?
I mean, there's a lot of things that I think that just, you know, I could say to them, because I mean, it's literally every single, like, it's impossible to follow the Lord without having people around you to lift you up and like to help you in those like valleys and to be with you on the mountains. And like, I don't know, I think I would want to know more about like, what is their like everyday life with Jesus look like, and how are they being pushed by other people if they have no community, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's really good. That's what comes to mind for me as well. Like, I like the way you put that, though. Like, in the valleys, you're not going to be as strong as you could be.
Mm-hmm.
And on the mountains, you're not going to be able to celebrate the way that you really wish you could.
Yeah.
You know, that life is just going to be, and I think that's probably very wise by you to say, like, well, what's really going on in life
mm-hmm.
that makes you desire to do life alone.
Yeah.
Because for sure, like, life can be very disappointing. Yeah. Life can be very hard, and our life experiences can make us prone to not trust. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy, he was a pastor, he was a church planter in Washington, D.C., in the D.C. area. And he was also part of the protective detail for the director of the CIA. So this dude like slept like 2 hours a night and he's an absolute warrior. But he would always say that every new relationship is an opportunity for somebody to stab you in the back. And he said part of following Jesus is willingly opening up your life for multiple people to stab you in the back.
Yeah.
And I love how, like, I love, like, super just black and white, like, very clear-eyed things like that. But part of what gives us strength to be able to do that is the ultimate promise that one day Jesus will return.
Yeah.
And he will usher in a new kingdom and a new heaven and a new earth. And so a lot of times existing in community is an act of faith.
Yeah.
It's an act of faith that we model community, even if it's not returned in the way that we wish it was.
Yeah.
We model community as an act of faith because of what it makes available to the other person.
Yeah.
And so I want to, kind of like we did with Chase, we've talked, and I feel like we've established a little bit of why community is essential.
Mm-hmm.
But I want us to just kind of go back and forth of how can a person in our church get the most out of community? Mm-hmm. If they were going to get the absolute most, and it can be about connect group, it can be about a lot of different things. But if you had the number one draft pick for recommendations for how to get the most out of community, what would your first pick be?
I think the first word that really pops into my brain is vulnerability. I think it's really important. That's another thing, is community is important because it allows you to be vulnerable with other people, which allows you to be honest with yourself and the Lord, which is something that I'm still working on, but I think that's why it came into my mind first. Me and Jessica Navarro were talking about it. Shout out to Jessica. We were just talking about after Connect Group one night, I was like, you know, and she had said something about how being vulnerable is like the way that we're going to grow and grow together through things that we're going through. And so then I pulled her to the side and I was like, I'm not really good at being vulnerable with people. And she was like, well, we'll work on it. Like, it's something that you can work on. And that's what community opens up to, is just the ability. And even being vulnerable is to, like, what you're saying about that guy who, I mean, you have to be willing to be stabbed in the back by people following Jesus.
Yeah. So. I think that's tremendous advice. Like, I mean, what a great pick. Like, so I'm picturing some, like, Kate standing at the Next Steps desk in her atrium. Person walks up and says, hey, I'm going to join a connect group. What advice would you give me? Kate's advice is be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get the most out of it, be vulnerable. And I think that is extremely true for our connect groups. I don't know about other people's small group ministries and their processes, but for us, the thing that we want connect groups to be is a place where people get connected to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that is to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
This past Tuesday in our Connect group, we had a couple of new families, and there were kids everywhere. And it was noticeable. Like, the amount of kids, like, tripled.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really, really loud. And I felt like the Lord put on my heart to just share with them. It's like, hey, this is beautiful. There's a lot of things I could have said. I could have said, this is insane. This is chaotic.
Yeah.
This is crazy. But what I share with them is that this is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
God loves these children. And what I realize is that for us with young kids, this is one of the only ways for us to have connect group.
Yeah.
is to just embrace this. So my encouragement to y'all to get the most out of this Connect group is be vulnerable, be real, be transparent with one another, and we will get the most out of group in the short amount of time that we have, because we can only do this for so long with referee and these kids. So that is a great pick. I'm going to have to throw in a curveball, because we're talking just about in general, how do I get the most out of community? I would say one great place to start with community is actually finding a place to serve. That would be my number one pick that I would recommend, is find a, I think I say this, you know, maybe this is my perspective as a man, like finding a group of people to serve shoulder to shoulder alongside really builds a sense of trust and camaraderie that fuels community that can be a lot different than sitting in a circle talking together about something. But the act of doing something together really breeds a sense of community and a sense of belonging. And you find a place where you fit. You know, that kind of gets at the heart of our podcast. Like go and be fruitful and multiply. That's an activity. It's a thing that we go out and do. That's one part of it. And so that would be one recommendation that I have. If somebody came up to me and said, Jordan, how can I get the most out of community? I completely agree with Kate. Be vulnerable. But I would also, one of my recommendations would be find a place to serve.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised at those moments in KK where you have your team huddle and then you get to know the people that you're serving alongside in the room and you're cleaning up the toys and you're picking things up and you're giving kids their material. That's a great way to build community. So what about, what's your next pick? What would be your next recommendation?
I think my next recommendation would be come teachable. I think a lot of times people can push away from people because they said something that they didn't agree with, or, you know, it just came off as like them being mean or rude or whatever. But I think, you know, we have to be willing to open ourselves up to have the conversations, and, you know, you can't grow if you're not teachable. And also, I guess this, well, I'll share that later. That's my next one. But you know, you can't grow if you're not teachable, because you're not willing to know what you're either doing right or doing wrong, or, you know, what you could be doing better, I guess. And that's, you know, walking with the Lord, we're not perfect. And I think that we need to know, it's important to know that, and know that there are people that can teach you newer ways, or I guess better, for lack of a better word, ways to follow the Lord, or to show people the Lord, or be fruitful and multiply.
That's really good, man. What a great nugget there to be teachable. Like, don't assume that you, and are you kind of saying that in a small group setting specifically, like within inside of the structure of a Connect group?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's true in general, be teachable in general. But for sure in a small group, like, that's really, really good of come and be teachable, be the type of person that, don't show up with a know-it-all sort of an attitude. That's right. Really, really good. Another one that I would add is kind of in conjunction with that. I find that a lot of times people come to me as one of the pastor, specifically over our small groups ministry, and they say, I just can't find the Connect group that meets my needs. I can't find the Connect group that like fits my life stage, that fits sort of where I'm at in my walk with the Lord. My advice to get the most out of community is focus on others.
Mm-hmm.
Don't focus on yourself.
Yeah.
You'll grow the most, one, across lines of difference, not across lines of similarity.
Yeah.
The person that is the most like you does not necessarily have as much that they can teach you as the person that is the most different than you.
Mm.
Focus on what the group can accomplish in someone else's life, and you'll be surprised at what the Lord will bless in your life by you making it about someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that?
I thought that was really good. I feel like I was about to say it, my next pick kind of goes with that. It's like you're able to teach people whether you think you are or not.
Mm.
You know, I think we all have, I think that's something that I've learned is I was very new to believing when I was kind of, when I first became a Christian leader, I was like, literally learning how to follow the Lord at the same time as being a leader. And I was leading high schoolers and, you know, that's a really just a hard thing to do as a new believer is to like biblically, how can I biblically lead these girls and show them the Lord, even though I'm still learning.
Still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And, I don't know. I feel like I learned that I was teaching them things and they were teaching me things too. But, I think that I just lacked the confidence in like, okay, I can do this. And not even from leading perspective, I guess, you know, we go to small group, connect group on Mondays and, we'll be talking and somebody will say something and like have a question and I'm like, oh, well I can kind of speak into this. Cause like, this is what I've been learning in my quiet times. And like the Lord, you know, he equips us with these thoughts and ideas and, you know, we just have to be confident enough to know that the Lord will speak through us and, you know, we can teach other people even though we feel like we can't.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool to see like, you know, the Lord working in, circumstances where I'm like, oh gosh, like when you asked me to be on this podcast, I was like, oh no, but I, you know, you just were speaking and things are just like coming to mind and I'm like, oh, well that wasn't actually as bad as I thought it was going to be. So
that's such a good example for sure. Like that's what, like, you know, it's always that tension on like Tuesday. There's never a time that I want to cancel Connect Group more than Tuesday at about 5:45. And Connect Group starts at 6:30. Like, I'm like, man, I just don't have anything to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. But like, when I focus on what is this going to provide for someone else, it always makes it worth it. And what I would say, how I would rephrase sort of what you said is don't sell yourself short. I think that Jesus doesn't make making disciples optional.
Right.
And so, but he does make the way navigating to doing it a journey. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make it like you do this, and then now you're ready. Actually, I'm rereading my mentor's book on residencies about this right now. And he just talks about the unprofessional nature, the value of unprofessional environments for people to learn. Mm. The actual sending process, the preparation process for the original 12, when he sends them out two by two, one, he sent them out in relationship.
Yeah.
In community.
Yeah.
And then the sending was the preparation.
Yeah.
Like them having to go out and do stuff, do ministry, like go minister to people.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet he gives them these healing ministries because they probably didn't have a whole lot to say.
Yeah.
Where now we have the person of Jesus that we get to herald and proclaim, and God still does miracles. God still heals and for sure all of those things. Yeah. But those things are meant to reveal the nature of the divine healer that we now proclaim verbally.
Right.
And so we have something to encourage and strengthen people with. So don't sell yourself short.
Yeah.
Show up to a group and you do it on faith, not knowing how God is going to use you once you get there. Mm-hmm. Don't sell yourself short. I think that's really, really good. That's good insight, Kate.
Thank you.
My next one, I would say set aside your preferences. Set aside your preferences. Like, again, this is probably a continuation of focusing on others, but I hear a lot of pushback of like, well, I just prefer to do a Bible study, mm-hmm. or I want to do a Beth Moore study, or I want to do a Jen Wilkins study, or I want to do a Paul Washer study. Set aside your preferences. We have a huge, huge, huge community of people that are all disconnected. Mm-hmm. Make it about them.
Yeah.
Don't make it just about your preferences. Make it about, and I guess I'm kind of specifically speaking to Connect Group leaders, but I would say you get the most in general out of God's better game plan for community when we focus, when we set aside our preferences and don't bring our worldly preferences into community. And I don't know why this just dropped into my mind, but that's what I think about the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Mm-hmm. They wanted to purpose God's community for their self-gain. Mm. That is an outgrowth of preferences. Mm-hmm. They preferred to be known as great and meaningful in the eyes of the community, even if it came at the cost of God's fame. Mm. And so we need to be cautious of that. Like, we need to be cautious of co-opting God's glory for our preferences.
Yeah.
So what's your next pick?
I mean, I feel like we have already talked about this, but, you know, it would kind of go with yours. Like, set aside your preferences and maybe think of, like, come with open hands. Because you never know. Like, I just know so many people that don't come to X, Y, and Z because, well, I'm not going to get anything out of it.
Ooh.
Well, that's just not even an excuse because you don't know what the Lord's going to show you right through that. You know,
I can't tell you how many times I've been that person.
Yeah,
I can remember when I was a college student being like,
yeah,
so-and-so is leading tonight, not this other leader.
Right, yeah. Well, and I mean, I even saw that through me. And again, shout out Jessica.
Jessica.
She was like, are you coming to that women's night that's on Friday? And I was like, probably not. And she was like, why? And I said, well, I just don't think that's like really for me. Like, I don't think I'm going to get anything out of it. And she was like, that's not an excuse. Like, you're coming because I know you don't have any plans.
That sounds like Jessica. I love that.
And, you know, she's really opened my eyes to like the idea of the Lord's going to move in mighty ways, whether I know it or not. And so for me, I guess leap of faith would be coming with open hands. And I ended up going and I sat with her and the whole thing, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I hear you, Lord. Like,
yeah.
I hear you. And, you know, it's just cool to see that real time. I think that's just like one example of me being like, well, it's probably like I'm not going to get anything out of it because that's for like the women in the community. And I'm just a college student.
Right.
And that's simply not the truth. Like, the Lord really spoke that night. And I think
that's awesome.
That, you know, I know so many people that are like, well, I don't really go to that because like the one time I did go, like I didn't really get anything for myself out of it. And I was like, well, I guess that kind of makes sense, but it's like, but it's not for you. It's for the Lord.
Mm.
And, you know, so-and-so could have been speaking on something that, yeah, okay, you already knew that, but it's a refresher. And then that way you can go talk about it with other people. And there might've been like friends there that had questions about it that you already knew answers to. And you could, you know, sit down over coffee or go on a walk or something and speak on that and speak into their lives. And, you know,
I think that was one of the biggest hurdles for me. And I watched many of my friends and people that even that we did ministry together in college, it was hard to get over the hurdle of everything being new and needing to be new.
Yeah.
There's something about that. There's a reason it's called spiritual disciplines, mm-hmm. not spiritual experiences.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of times when things are first, they feel new, and that's what drives that sensation of, well, I'm not going to get anything out of it. Mm-hmm. What you mean is I'm not going to get something new.
Yeah.
But I hate to tell you, it's the same 66 books.
Yeah.
It's been called prayer since the early church, you know, and obviously throughout the, in, you know, all the way back to the earliest, to all through creation, right. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, everybody, the whole gang, you know, it's been called prayer. It's been existing in a relationship with God. And so it gets to where it's not about new experiences and how can I impart this to someone else? Because it's got to cease to be about my own experiences. I love that about be open-handed with what the Lord might want to shape in you. I hate to tell a lot of these college students, but it's the lesson that I learned the hard way, is that you don't graduate to another level of holiness.
Yeah.
You actually graduate to new levels of brokenness.
Mm.
You graduate to new levels of a dependence on the Lord. And they're the same means of grace are going to be available to you. The preaching of God's word, the receiving of the Lord's Supper, spiritual disciplines like prayer, and just reading the scriptures and understanding them more deeply and better, being able to apply them to your life, fasting, all of these things are part of a spiritual diet. And it's not just about college students. I would say this for everybody in Connect Group, to come and be open-handed. And that kind of goes into my next pick. We'll do one more after this one. So you only got one more to go. is make time. Make time.
That's a good one.
Not just like, you know, go when you can. I'm saying make time.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that in part is I'm kind of poking at like, well, I just don't have time. Well, make time. Because it is an essential. It's not a negotiable. It's not a if you have time. Now, I get seasons of life and I get, you know, all of those things. But I'm saying make time.
Mm-hmm.
More of our people, the thousand to 1,200 people that come to our church on a Sunday that aren't heart and soul and aren't in a Connect group, they need to be encouraged to make time.
Yeah.
What I would say, make it a discipline. That's what I mean by that. Is I'm not just saying like follow the rules. I'm saying make it a discipline, because then that takes you out of that then kind of all of the things that we've both listed of be vulnerable, be teachable, don't sell yourself short, be open-handed. When it's a rhythm of discipline, when it's a consistent thing that I'm going to do, it's on the calendar, then I'm going to show up. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be open-handed. I'm going to be teachable. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to focus on others. I'm going to set aside my preferences, because this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am a person that exists in community.
Yep.
And that's reflected on your calendar,
mm-hmm.
In the way that you do that. So make time, make it a discipline. All right. What's your last pick?
I just had it, but I forgot it. Let me think.
Kate, I'm new here. I want to get the most out of community. You've told me to be vulnerable, to be teachable, not sell myself short, be open-handed. How can I get the absolute most out of community?
Okay. I think this is an important one that not a lot of people talk about, is the seasons of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living your whole life alone, your walk with the Lord alone, then you know, you don't get the sweetness of community.
Mm.
And then when you are struggling with community and you feel alone, you know, you almost don't feel the urgency of like, I have to find community, because you've lived your whole life alone. And, you know, I think that there are times when you go through this season of loneliness, and you're craving something greater. And that's what I, you know, I think that if you are walking alone with the Lord, like you, there's something else that you need. Like, I mean, obviously the Lord satisfies all, but you need that community to push you. And I think that through the season of loneliness, the Lord grows us to be uncomfortable with being alone so that we will seek out community, you know?
Yeah, so loneliness is like a check engine light for something spiritual.
Yeah.
Like, if you're experiencing loneliness, then maybe the Lord is using that to reveal your need for community. You feel like that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's really good.
Thanks.
Wow. Wow, that's really good. I like that a lot. How do you see that play out in college students a lot of times?
I'm just going to use my own example because I just, you know myself best. But when my sophomore year, I went through this, like, I wasn't necessarily alone. I had friends, but I wasn't, you know, doing all the things that we listed off, like being vulnerable, being teachable, knowing my work, like, you know, just all the things, serving. I mean, I was serving, but it was very much because I felt like I had to and not because I was glorifying the Lord, but because I just was like, well, this is what the Lord wants from me, and I'm not necessarily sure if that's what I'm, like, this is what the Lord has called me to, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just kind of, I pushed away from a lot of my friendships, and I felt like I was in this season of loneliness, and it was because I was really, struggling with my own quiet times. But I had to put on this, like, oh, well, I'm leading these high school girls and I need to, pretend that, you know, I have, quiet time every day and I have all these disciplines, even though I've only been believing in the Lord for less than 6 months. Like,
right.
It was just like an unfeasible task that I couldn't handle alone and that I was trying to handle alone. And so that I pushed my friends who were going to be my community away.
Right. Interesting.
So,
that's a very important point that Kate's making, which is in the midst of ministering and caring for other people and doing ministry, the solve for her loneliness was not doing less ministry. It was doing it more in community.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. Do you think that there is a difference in having friends and being known?
Yeah, I think so.
How would you explain that difference?
I think, you know, just I think of, like, I have a lot of friends. Like, I would say I have a lot of friends and people that I, you know of, and they know me, but they don't, like, know me. They don't know my story. They don't know what I'm going through right now. But I have, like, a core group of friends who I would really call my community. Is those five those five girls that I can think of off the top of my head that I can be vulnerable with and, share things that I'm going through, and they know my story. And they push me towards the Lord. And I'm not saying that your friends can't do that, but I think it's important to, you know, guard your heart in the fact that, like, you can have a lot of friends, but being vulnerable with all of them might not be the wisest decision.
Yeah, that is my observation as well, that, like, I just think that's an extremely wise perspective, Kate, that there is a lot of wisdom in, there is a difference in having a lot of friends and having people in your life that deeply know you.
Yeah.
Like, that know your sin, that know your shortcomings, that can be honest with you about your weaknesses without you getting defensive, that can call you on your bad days. I don't mean just, like, call you and say, hey, you're great, you know, and try to, like, smooth it over, but, like, hey, man, you're having a bad day today.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And they're not going to then step out of the friendship because they know you.
Yeah.
And that's the difference to me in community and friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship, you can have lots of people that are your friends or and are really, you know, and that's even different than acquaintances.
Right.
But community, you need people that that deeply, deeply know mm-hmm. you, your struggles, and also actually know your gifts.
Yeah.
Because then they can encourage you when you're beginning to play outside of the lines of your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey man, you're trying to be somebody that you're not.
Yeah.
That's community.
Yeah.
Where Pete Scazzaro always talks about, that's the guy that wrote Emotionally Healthy Discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
He said one of his favorite characters in the Bible is John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the guy that took over his church for him. What's his name? Rich Velotis. That always says John the Baptist is, you know, who cares? Christian celebrities, whatever. But the, just kidding. But the, it talks about John the Baptist knew who he was and he knew who he wasn't.
Yeah.
John the Baptist knew he was not the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Jesus must, he must increase and I must decrease.
Yeah.
I know who I am. I'm just the reed in the wilderness.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just the voice calling out in the wilderness. I'm just this crazy guy off to the side making the way for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what community allows too, right? This is a little different than biological family.
Mm-hmm.
That's extremely important for people that have come from families that don't follow the Lord.
Yeah.
I think that's a big hindrance a lot of times in South Georgia where
yeah.
we are, is people have family, so they have people that can bring them a meal. They have people that can watch
yeah.
their kids. They have people that they can go watch Georgia Southern games with. They
mm-hmm.
can go watch Georgia games with. They can, you know, whatever,
yeah.
do activities with.
Right.
But they don't actually know, like, what, and this is sad. I mean, this is sad to say. It's really sad to say
yeah.
that there are parents that don't know the deepest dreams of their kids.
Yeah.
That don't know, like, the aspirations and goals of their kids.
Yeah.
But that is a symptom of not existing in community.
Yeah.
Now, the way the Lord designed it, I think, is that our relationship with our kids and our relationship with our parents should be such that they fuel
mm-hmm.
and help proliferate our relationship with God. Like this horizontal reality of us knowing one another
mm-hmm.
should fuel this vertical understanding of God, but also an inward direction,
mm-hmm.
like an inward understanding of who we are. Like in an ideal world, our parents help us understand who we are and who God made us to be.
Right.
And they're not just saying that based off of their own preferences, but they have observed our life and they understand themselves in such a way that they can help us understand us.
Mm-hmm.
And then in turn, help us to move in the direction of worship of God.
Mm-hmm.
But all of our listeners need to be very careful to not assume that they have that just because they have either an intact family
mm-hmm.
or a relationship with mom and dad, even if they are divorced, or they have close friends.
Yeah.
Do you have community?
Mm.
Do you have people that know your sin, know your struggle, know your difficulty, and that can call you on your spiritual stuff
yeah.
and your inconsistencies? And then now we can actually start talking about Proverbs, iron sharpening an iron.
Yeah.
I don't know if people have ever hit pieces of iron together, but it's not like clay
mm-hmm.
being shaped on the little spinning wheel.
No.
It's there's sparks that fly
mm-hmm.
and it's a grimy, difficult process.
Yeah.
And so there's a huge difference in having friends and being known.
Yeah.
All right. My last one to kind of wrap us up here. If I were counseling you to get the absolute most out of community that you can, my encouragement to you would be to multiply.
Mm.
And I'm just going to keep beating this horse. You know, it's the thing I do yeah. in all these podcasts. But multiply,
mm-hmm.
push that community to raise up a leader in God's timing,
mm-hmm.
in the local church's way mm-hmm. that we try to pastor people in the direction of, and send that person out to begin another community, have another avenue for more people to be able to exist in community.
Mm-hmm.
When you set that as a goal, what you do is take what can feel like a feelings circle, where we're sitting in a circle, and it begins to turn it into not just a row like you have on Sunday morning. It turns it into something that we can begin to pursue shoulder to shoulder. Yeah. Again, kind of like with serving. But it make the goal to multiply. Pray for God to send someone to your group that the group can invest in to send back out.
Yeah.
Pray that God would raise somebody up from within the group to send them out to start another small group.
Yeah.
Pray that God would make you a fisher of men. Mm. And multiplication doesn't have to just look like planting out another connect group, but your connect group can be the best fishing ground for somebody to then disciple.
Yeah.
It begins to embody all of these things of being vulnerable, being teachable, not selling yourself short, being open-handed, setting aside your preferences, focusing on others, mm-hmm. because you're looking for the person who God has uniquely placed in the group that you can then help learn how to be a student of Jesus.
Yeah.
So become a fisher of men, and you that happens best within community.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kate, any last thoughts?
I don't think so.
Thanks for all you do with college. Thanks for everything that you do as a tremendous example to other college students. But I think that if we took away, like, if I didn't say, hey, this is Kate Rentz, and if I didn't introduce, like, hey, Kate's a college student, this is extremely insightful points that you're making that are applicable to somebody that's much, much older in life. These are very mature thoughts that you're sharing, and I just applaud your following of Jesus and everything that God's doing in your life, and it's fun to have you here on staff and for you to be doing stuff alongside us. So thanks for all that you do. Thanks to all of our Connect Group leaders for all that you do to facilitate community. We know it's a huge investment. And we, as a staff, just want to help you get the most out of your leadership and your following of Jesus as you're welcoming people into community, as well. And so, this is, again, all about trying to orient us around God's better game plan, that community matters, that making disciples matters, that multiplying small groups matters. And we want to do everything we can to support you guys. And we will see you next week.